Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
All this week on Drive Time, our reporters are investigating the rental market across the country, with rising rents showing no sign of abating and a lack of supply still an issue. The problems facing renters continues to grow, as you well know. Yesterday we heard of the perfect storm facing renters in Donegal, and today Barry Lenehan is with me, and you're looking at the picture in Dublin.
And the latest price report from the rental site daft.ie, Cormac, points to a slight ease in the rental market in Dublin, rents rising by just 0.4% in the capital in the third quarter of 2023, compared to an average of at least 5% in other Irish cities. Rents up 4.3% in Dublin in 2023 compared to the year previous, and average rental prices, the latest figures showing, ranging from 2,300 a month in Dublin City to over 2,600 in South County Dublin. 600 more properties available to rent in Dublin on November 1st compared to the same day the year previous. And on Daft this evening, there are 1,180 properties to rent across County Dublin, representing over half of all properties available to rent in the 26 counties. 1,320 properties to share in Dublin. But despite these figures scratched beneath the surface, speaking to a variety of people over the past few days, problems still persist. And some of those letting out rooms in a house share, for instance, they say they're still bombarded by scores of unsuitable applicants, sometimes backed up with false references. And some of those on the other side looking to rent out a room say they're sometimes left in difficult situations. And one of those is Brian Jordan. He's Student Union President at Technological University Dublin, and the 25-year-old sublet a room in Dublin last year.
So I was using daft.ie, you know, I had thousands of searches, automated responses sent the moment something became available, but it just didn't lead anywhere. I had friends of friends of friends sending out Instagram messages hoping, but nothing kind of came from that. And then my only hit, the only one that worked out, was this apartment in Dublin renting with another person, and they were the one interviewing me. So it was a subletting situation, unfortunately. It was the literal only option. So I wasn't fooled. I knew it was difficult to get accommodation, but I suppose I thought, okay, I'm a full-time working professional, I have a reasonable salary, surely I'll be able to find somewhere. And yet, despite that, it wasn't even that things were too expensive, it was that there just wasn't any available whatsoever.
So you found this place to stay. How much was the rent?
So the rent was 900 euro per month, and then you had to pay a 900 euro deposit. So I was paying an additional 100 to 200 in bills every month, because heating costs were quite high as well, because the apartment was quite old.
How did you get on living there?
Not great. I come from a family that's very, let's say, neat, meticulous, things like that. So I kind of thought, okay, the harder I try, you know, the better it'll work out. As the time went on, he just started finding random things to be furious about. He would accuse me of things like not opening the window enough. Again, it was freezing cold, but I would open the window because he was terrified of mold growth. So he just started, you know, deciding he hated me, and he was sitting in his house all day ruminating and trying to find any reason to hate me. So at one point I was diagnosed, I had melanoma. So that was treated. It was great. I caught it early, but I had quite a brutal looking, I suppose, scar and plaster and everything on my arm. And despite that, he was accusing me of making it up. And he said that I didn't have it and that I was using it as an excuse. Excuse for what? I don't know. I don't know what that was me excusing anything for. It was just on my arm.
To have melanoma is a pretty serious diagnosis to have. And you were accused of not telling the truth about that diagnosis.
Yes. And you can see the scar on my arm. I don't paint this on every day. At one point I was in crutches as well, because what happened was towards the end of this, and again, I like to think I'm quite a resilient person, but this was just on another level, like knowing every time you come home that you're on edge, being afraid to go into the kitchen if they're there, waiting to hear that they've left the bathroom so then you can go into the hallway. And I ended up developing full body eczema, and then it turns out it was stress related. That was the actual diagnosis. And then I started getting all these infections, from an eye infection to a foot infection. I'm known for being quite a healthy person, you never get sick. So I was sitting there going, oh my God, I feel like I'm literally falling apart physically. And then, yeah, they basically suggested it was probably all linked to this situation. I had to move home back to my old box room in my house with basically nothing but like my toothbrush and my laptop. And then over the course of a week or two, I had to go back to move out, and I had to have some with me at all times because I was so afraid.
What of the 900 euro deposit that you'd placed at the start?
So this was the most infuriating thing. I didn't even get all of it back. I initially wasn't going to get any of it back. And then I was threatening to go to the small claims court, because this is the thing with subletting. You don't actually have tenants' rights. Even though it was RTÉ registered, I couldn't go to RTÉ to help me. but I'd call the threshold charity. They'd told me that, oh, the Smalls Claims Court is kind of your version of the RTB. So I thought, great, I've got a backup. And then when push came to shove and I actually possibly was going to be going down this route, then they told me that actually, you know, it'll take years. They tend to favour the landlord and that it would probably cause a huge amount of, you know, emotional turmoil for me. You know, I felt like I was falling apart. I just thought this is not worth it. So anyway, after months of back and forth, I was able to get most of it back, but I think I still never got about €200 back. Try not to think about it. I've lobotomized that part of my memory, but sometimes I do look back and I just think that was the worst 6 months of my life.
And who could blame him? That's Brian Jordan, student union president at TU Dublin. Not a happy environment or experience at all. Barry, what are those who regularly engage with landlords? What's your assessment of the rental market in Dublin?
Well, Barry Finnegan is director at Haynes Estate Agent in Dunleary, involved in rental properties across Dublin. He's 20 years experience of the market. Here's his assessment.
Certainly landlords have decided to sell, and part of it is because there's been such a good increase in prices over the last number of years, but also because the rent pressure zone, the fixing of rents at 2% per annum, that's capped what they can get. Some of those landlords may have been on quite a fair rent to start with, and then over the last number of years they haven't been able to put up the rent anywhere near market rent, and they've decided, look, it's time to sell.
The number of properties available to rent, just what exactly is the picture?
There's very few available to rent. There's very few properties available to rent in each particular area that someone might be searching. But the reality is that there's probably a little bit more than what's available on DAFT, because we would have a list of properties where we're not advertising them yet because the tenants are still there, but we know that they're becoming available. But what we try and do is match them up then with people who have come into our office or people who we know are leaving other properties. They'll never go on the market.
What is the experience when a property is advertised then online?
If it happened right now, you'd know all about it because the phones would just go bananas. Literally, the phones would be ringing. It'd be non-stop until the ad is taken off DAFT. So what we do is we put it on for 10 minutes max. We have a list of people then that want to see it. And we know from that list of people then that one of them is going to be accepted. And or want it, yeah, we take it off.
10 minutes, you'd get a flurry of calls. It shows you how high the demand is.
I or my team would keep answering the phones all day if we just left it on. So there's huge demand, absolutely huge demand. And also people inquiring about properties that really aren't suitable for their family size just because they need somewhere to live. But what they need is just not available. They'll rent a two-bedroom apartment or a one-bedroom apartment even because there's just nothing else within their budget. You just know that you're gonna get people calling in or ringing who are very genuine. They really need somewhere to live. They're very genuine and you know that you only have one apartment for them. And that can be quite tricky at the viewing because you're dealing with really lovely people, all who would be ideal tenants. You could rent it 10, 15, 20 times over, but you've only got one apartment.
People just pleading their case, is it?
Yeah, actually, it can be tricky enough when you've got that you're trying to manage your viewing, and then there's people that are, like you said, trying to plead their case with you and tell you their story. Yeah, so that can be the trickier part.
What's your overall assessment, so, of the rental market in Dublin at the beginning of 2024?
I don't think that they're going to improve necessarily. Probably the same or maybe a little bit worse, because there are more landlords exiting the market than there are coming into the market. So I suppose just on that basis alone, is probably going to be a little bit worse.
A little bit tricky. Are any cohorts, Barry in particular, struggling to access the rental markets in Dublin?
Well, teaching and nursing unions are continuing a push for a Dublin allowance similar to the allowance given to civil servants, teachers, police officers in London to help with living and rental costs there. And teachers are estimated to receive an annual salary boost of up to €10,000 in inner London. Now, Cormac, the government insists, and government ministers have insisted, implementing such an allowance here would be extremely challenging. But the heads of some hospitals in Dublin, they're now joining this call for an allowance, saying staff shortages will become even more acute otherwise. Professor Shane Higgins, he's master of the National Maternity Hospital.
I think for a number of years now, we've kind of recognised that there is a problem with not recruiting, but perhaps retaining staff. It is in part at least related to the cost of rental accommodation here in Dublin. And we're seeing more and more of our midwifery and nursing staff commute significant distances to and from the hospital, perhaps up to 2.5 hours away. And as a consequence of this long commute, I think staff are considering whether it's better to continue that commute or perhaps live and work further from Dublin, where the cost of accommodation is cheaper. We've had staff that come up from Wexford, Kilkenny, Carlow, down from Armagh, Louth, Meath. the way their shifts are based, they do 3 long days a week. So they would start at 7:30 in the morning and work till 8:30 in the evening. Then they have to drive home and get up and do the same thing the following day. So we have made efforts here at the National Maternity Hospital to look for accommodation that would be more along the lines of an old-fashioned nurse's home, where they could stay for a couple of nights and then they have their 3 shifts done and they can go home for the rest of the week. We haven't managed to succeed in getting that accommodation, and we've been trying now for a number of years. We've also rented 3 houses on a major bus corridor to the hospital to allow staff that are coming from overseas and starting to work kind of ease into the job by giving them 3 months accommodation.
You've also looked at hotels and bed and breakfasts, haven't you?
Yeah, so we did a cost analysis of what the cost would be if we attempted to secure a small number of bedrooms for staff, and the rental costs per night were up to €150, which is not what we were looking for.
And what are staff saying to you? Do they wish to stay within the hospital?
Any staff that leave the hospital, particularly nursing and midwifery staff, we attempt to have an exit interview with them to try and find out the reasons why. And time and again, we hear that it's the long commutes, the cost of accommodation. These are the issues that come up time and time again, and these are the issues we've attempted to address. But unfortunately, there's no getting around the fact that renting accommodation in Dublin is becoming increasingly costly and staff just aren't able to do so.
The last year, would you say it has been worse or on a par with previous years?
It's probably been marginally worse. We have vacancies in our nursing and midwifery staffing grades here at the hospital because of all of these issues that I've just discussed.
How many unfilled posts at the moment?
We have approximately 50 unfilled posts, which amounts to about somewhere in the region of 10% of our nursing and midwifery staff.
What's the impact of those unfilled posts?
Well, for a whole host of reasons, we rely on our own staff to fill any gaps in the service. So we have staff that are working extra shifts, longer hours to fill those gaps.
One solution that's been proffered is a Dublin allowance or a Dublin waiting allowance. Is that something you would agree with?
Well, it's certainly something that I would support looking into. I've seen it work elsewhere, repeated time and time again, that there's a London waiting allowance for staff who work within the Greater London area. And I think that needs to be given some consideration. I think if we are to avoid in the future, I suppose, more extreme issues relating to staff shortages, we are going to have to consider something like that.
Shane Higgins there of the National Maternity Hospital. And another cohort continuing to find it difficult to rent in Dublin remains students, now forced into long commutes. Here's Brian Jordan again.
You saw so many students who couldn't find accommodation, who were paying insane prices, who were in these sublet situations that were similar to mine, and you were hearing these horror stories. It seemed at first that it wasn't as bad as the previous year, and then we realised there were significant numbers of students who just told us they were commuting now instead. And then you're seeing fail rates have increased across almost every HEI in the country. And part of that is because of the fact that students are working long hours to pay for accommodation, or they're commuting so long that they have less time to study.
Are you seeing many scams at the moment in particular when it comes to international students?
Definitely worse in semester one. We would have seen quite a few scams. And I know even last year with our advice service, we had a student who had given several thousand euro in a deposit. And then, because again, they don't expect there to be scams with accommodation. And I think that just isn't as much of a thing in other countries. It's insane to see how prevalent it is here. So we have students who then have, you know, potentially lost thousands of euro, and then they don't have supplementary income to pay to find another accommodation. They need that money back. It just becomes a very, very disastrous situation. I just don't understand how this situation is going to get any better, because we just seem to be repeating the same cycle of stories every single year.
Yeah, not a lot of hope there from Brian Jordan, president of the Students' Union at TU Dublin, ending Barry Lenehan's report. And I can tell you more in this series tomorrow when we look at the challenges renting for those with disabilities.